Welcome to Tell Me More Live, the recorded version of our monthly storytelling night at the Push Comedy Theater in Norfolk, Virginia. In this recording, comedian C.B. Wilkins shares his story of a dysfunctional relationship that ends with karmic, or is it comedic, revenge.
When I was 18 years old, I was living in Charlotte. I was going to school, and I started working at an FYE, one of the music stores. I'd been working there about 8-9 months when this girl Lacey started working there. And I wanted to date Lacey. I'm not sure why exactly. I mean, she was cute, but I don't know what made me want to. I think the only thing I wanted to date her was because I thought she wanted to date me. That's unfortunately still my criteria. Like, oh, she wants to date me, so she probably won't say no. All right, I'm into it. Let's try it. So we started dating, and then, like, we're going out every night, you know, and it's the first time a girl's ever gone out with me more than once. First time a girl's ever liked me back, you know, so I'm just losing myself and I ignore all my friends. We're just hanging out every day, but you know, I think I'm happy. So I don't care about that stuff. So we keep going out. After about 2 months, being together, we're going to have sex, right? For the first time. Yeah. And I remember being upset because it was like a week after I turned 19. I remember being like, why can't we do this before I turn 19 so I don't have to tell people I was a virgin until I was 19? Like, that'd be just that one we could have been like the day of. Like, just like the night before, 10 minutes before midnight, we could have done that. So I'd be like, oh, I was 18. And they wouldn't know it was like 18 and 364 days. But whatever. So we're at my apartment. And I get naked in front of her. This is the first time I ever got naked in front of a girl in my entire life. And she starts crying. Yeah. Yeah. I know. And I don't know why. If I get naked in front of you today, you should cry. Like, this is a mess. You've hit rock bottom. Please start crying. It's the time for it. I was 19. I was in pretty good shape. There's nothing here that should have made her cry. And so, like, but instead, I didn't get, like, I should have been, like, indignant. I should have demanded an explanation, you know. But again, I'm 19, and I think I'm in love, so I console her and make her feel good about it. I lie and tell her it didn't make me feel awful about myself as a person. Yeah. So a week later, we're going to try again, right? And I get naked, and she doesn't cry, which is huge for me. It's a huge, huge deal. But I'm not physically ready. I'm not, my dick is like a baby bunny rabbit's belly at that point. It's just soft and non-threatening. It's not gonna harm anyone. So now an older, more experienced woman, you know, would have been like, hey, you know, you're 19. There's nothing physically wrong here. You know, she'd have literally taken handle of things, you know, taken a slap against her tits a little bit, like, let's go, let's make this happen, right? But my girlfriend, predictably, started crying. So, here I am for the second time in a week, naked with a crying girl. Which is exactly how losing your virginity is supposed to go, right? That's exactly. So we try the next day, we try again. Try number three. I get naked again. She doesn't cry, which is, again, huge for me. I'm ready to go. There's no bunny rabbit belly. I'm fine. I get the condom out. I put the condom. If you've never put a condom on before, don't do it in front of someone else for the first time. It's like, why is there so much extra? This doesn't. So much more I could roll down. So I get the condom. This is how long losing my virginity lasted. You ready for it? That was it. That was the whole. Literally went inside. It was over. And I started laughing like a madman. Because that was the fun. Because after all that anxiety and crying and just and feeling to just listen, that was it. That was what it was all. 19 years of waiting. So we waited 20 minutes and I got to 3 pumps. So. But we kept, you know, that happened. We kept dating. And Lacey, she was a fucking insane person. She was a crazy, crazy bitch. She was like, she would just have these wild mood swings. She would go from just sweet and loving to just, on the split second, for no reason, just saying the most horrible, heinous things you could ever say to someone. Just telling me I'm worthless. There's no, you know, there's no value to him. I'm never going to have any of my dreams happen. I'm ugly. Just, and then 10 minutes later, apologizing and telling me how much she loves me. I mean, she would cut herself. Like, she kept, we dated for a year and a half. She had 7 different jobs because she kept getting fired for being a bitch. I know you guys are thinking, what a catch. What a catch. You know, so we were dating. Actually, at one point in the next summer came around, she actually broke up with me. I was at work in the middle of the day, alphabetizing CDs, and she came up and just broke up with me in the middle of my work shift. So I was left there crying in the middle of the aisle for like 4 more hours. And what I should have done was let her. That's what I should have been like, okay, that should happen. But again, I'm 19. I think I'm in love. So I pull like the John Cusack, like out with the boombox. But instead of the boombox, it's just my dopey face in front of her, just like, take me back. Right. So that happens. So she does take me back. We keep dating. So then, like a few months later, we move in together. Yeah. So you guys have been paying attention. You know this is a terrible idea. It's like, we have all the same problems, except now we fight about money and we can't hide from each other. So it's good. So we're living together. At one point, there was one night where it's me and a couple of buddies of mine, guys who eventually became my roommates. We're sitting there, we're hanging out. Yeah. We're hanging out, we're watching movies, just having a nice night. Nothing rowdy, you know, not even drinking, just hanging out. And she comes home from one of her jobs, who knows which one, and she walks in, and it's obvious she's pissed. She's just unhappy about the world, and, you know, nothing pissed her off more than other people having a good time. So we've doubled her pissed offness. So she walks in, just like, and I'm like, hey, you know, I'm just trying to be nice, trying to let everyone be cool. I'm like, hey, sweetie, how was your night? And she's like, shitty. Well, and I try to empathize. I'm like, you know, I'm sorry to hear that. And me trying to be nice to her just really fucking pissed her off. So she starts just laying in, saying horrible things about me, about my friends. Just starts freaking out. And it pissed her off more that I wasn't engaging. This whole time she would just say things. I'm like, yeah, you know, that's all right, whatever. And so this ends up, this culminates with her going back. I mean, the whole apartment was like this big. This stage is as big as our fucking apartment. So she's here. My friends are here on the couch. She's opening the door and just slamming it repeatedly. Just wham, wham, wham. You're embarrassing me! Wham, wham. And I'm sitting here with my friends. I'm like, how am I embarrassing her? She's the crazy bitch sitting there screaming and slamming a door. Which just, she's like, ah! Wham, wham, wham. Okay. So now you hear that, and I tell you that, and you're probably thinking, okay, that's when he finally broke up with, like, that was the moment. No, that was just, like, one of the more memorable times. That's all that was. That was a Thursday. It was still, like, several more months. We kept dating, and another night she just came home in a super pissy mood, and after like saying a bunch of horrible things, finally, you know what, I'm done with you, we're broken up, I'm done with you. I was like, all right. So, and of course she comes the next day, she's like crying and apologizing, wanting me to take her back. She's like, do you forgive me? I'm like, yeah, I forgive you. It's like, so we're back together? I was like, no. No. I learned my lesson. We're not. Right. But we're still living together. So she gets it in her head. She gets convinced that, like, if she can have sex, get me to have sex with her, then we're back together, right? So she's, like, trying to get me to have sex, but not very hard because she was always lazy in that aspect. She's just kind of like, hey, have sex with me. I'm like, no, you're not. You're scratching your stomach. It's weird. Stop it. I don't. And so, like, after about a month, she put on the lingerie. I'm sitting on the couch. And she comes and just straight up fucks me. Like, there's nothing. Like, I can't. It's only the third time she's ever really tried, so I can't stop it. I have to let it happen. And then almost immediately after, I'm like, you know, this doesn't mean anything. Like, we're not back together, which fucking pissed her off. So that, like, so then once she realizes she can't, once she realizes I'm not gonna take her back, it's not gonna happen. Then she gets very aggressive about trying to date other guys while we're living together. But she quickly finds out other guys have self-esteem, and they're not putting up with their bullshit. So that didn't work out very well. She put herself on like a rate yourself website one time, where it was like on a scale of 1 to 10, people would rate your picture. Yeah, and it's like, what kind of asinine? She got a 6.1, which is hilarious to me. I don't know. She's like, I'm maybe a 9 or a 10. You're a 6.1. So one day eventually she just stops coming there. She just leaves most of her shit, and I'm left with this apartment I can't pay for. And so it's about 6 years later. I've moved back home to Virginia Beach, and I went down to Charlotte to visit some friends, some people I knew down there were having a good time, hanging out. After being there for a couple hours, my buddy Brian's like, hey, did you hear about Lacey? And I was like, no, I didn't. I haven't talked to her. You know, last time I saw her in my apartment, you know, like 6 years ago. And he's like, yeah, do you know the show Hell's Kitchen? It's like, if you don't know the show Hell's Kitchen, it's actually come back on now. It's the one with that British guy, Gordon Ramsay, the cooking show, where he just yells at everyone, you know? It's like, it's awful, it's rubbish, you know, that guy, right? Lacey, is on she's on the 5th season of Hell's Kitchen. It's currently happening. As he's telling me, they're about 3 episodes in. So I go back to my hotel, and the only thing I can find of it is on YouTube is like a 2-minute clip of a sassy gay man making fun of her. But I caught up. I found it all. I ended up finding it. So I'm watching. So she's on Hell's Kitchen. And the first thing I see on there is she's gained 250, 300 pounds. Like, just blown up. Which, yeah, I mean, let's face it. We're all petty. We'd love it when that happens, right? So in her head, she's still the same stupid, spoiled little bitch she was when we dated. So this is the first thing she says on national television. And no one's going to look at me and think, here's another pretty girl trying to be a chef. No. We were wondering if any food's going to make it out of the kitchen. What are you No. No, we were not. She's on the show. Like, people would ask me, they'd say, okay, like, could she cook when you guys were together? She couldn't make grilled cheese. The one time she tried to cook, she gave me very severe food poisoning. She could not cook. She's on the show. She's even on the show. It says she's a corporate chef, which means she cooked for like a Golden Corral. Well, she couldn't cook. So she's on the show. She's not qualified to be there. The reason she's on the show is every reality show has an asshole. It's just someone who's on there to just be a jerk and cause bullshit. And she was a perfect asshole. She was on the show for 8 weeks with no skill because she was just a train wreck. It was amazing to watch. So finally they had to kick her off the show because she couldn't grill a steak. It's like a 5-year-old can grill a steak. They had to kick her off. And it was amazing. It was the best. It was the best. It was Gordon Ramsay just like, he's got the steak. He's like holding the steak up, slinging it at her. There's little bits of it, flecks of it hitting her in the face. And he's like, this is awful. This is rough. You fat, stupid cow. Do you have any idea how amazing it is to have an ex you hate called a fat, stupid cow on national television in a British accent? That's like getting a high five from Jesus. It was amazing. It's on Netflix. Season 5, episode 8. Go watch it. It's amazing. It's the best. Gordon Ramsay is my favorite person on the planet. I think we're supposed to end this with something about the transformation. The only transformation I've made is that. The only transformation I've made is I went from like a young innocent boy who thought he'd find love to now a 33-year-old guy who, that's the only girlfriend I've ever really had. I dated her for a year and a half from 18 to 20, and since then I dated a girl last year for about 2 months. It was the longest relationship I've had since, and she was a bipolar rape survivor who flinched every time I touched her. And she broke up with me. So that's here. Yeah, I don't know what the sad. The transition is that I'm a sad guy who can't find love. And it's because I am shell shocked from the one bad experience I had in the war. I don't know. You guys are wonderful. I'm leaving.
Thank you for joining Tell Me More Live, the recorded version of our live storytelling event at the Push Comedy Theater in Norfolk, Virginia. If you'd like to join Tell Me More or help out in any way, visit tellmemorelive.org. That's tellmemorelive.org. where you will find our online submission and contact forms, a schedule of upcoming shows, and more Storyteller podcasts. To keep up with the most recent podcasts, you can subscribe to Tell Me More Live via RSS, iTunes, and Stitcher. If that's not enough, you can follow our Tell Me More Live updates on Facebook and Twitter. Until next time, this is Deb Markham reminding you, a happy ending always depends on where the story ends.